The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Do you drive a vehicle? Then you'll find autocorrect helpful, especially on Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week. Listen to our podcast with me, Coach Charlie Melton, on any podcasting platform or on the MPB Public Media app.
Good morning. Ain't it a great morning to be out in the sunshine in the South? Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and me and Java Chapman and all the folks at Mississippi Public Broadcasting are live this morning at the Gestalt Gardener. We're broadcasting from downtown Clarksdale at the Collective, and we're going to be giving more information about that. Woo! And it's at the end of Delta Avenue. How more Delta can you be than that? We're going to talk about gardening for the next hour. It is a live program. If you've got some things you want to talk about, give us a call. We're going to share the number over and over and over. Meanwhile, here in Clarksdale, let's hear it for the blues. Downtown at the foot of Delta Avenue in Clarksdale, Mississippi. Woo! And for the next hour, we're just going to talk about gardening. If you got some things, if you can get in a canoe and find your garden, then we can find some stuff you can do in it today. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's the first real, what I call the real good time to start planting summer. I know that it's a little bit wet out there for a lot of folks. I had a rain gauge that turned itself upside down. It had so much water in the day before yesterday. Emptied it out and got another 2.5 inches. So I know we've got plenty of rain. They've got sunshine coming out. It's going to be a beautiful spring. So if you want to get out and start planting some stuff, this is the time. If you don't feel like getting out and planting stuff, it's a great time to visit a garden center. You know, we're at the Collective Seed here downtown Clarksdale, and they're loaded up with stuff, just like most of all the independent garden centers around the state. And when I say independent, I mean locally owned folks who order stuff that they think will grow in your town rather than stuff that's trucked in from who knows where. So we're going to be talking about gardening. And if there's things you want to talk about, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. By the way, we're not only at the Collective Seed, but I got to throw this out, Java. It also shares a parking lot with Red Panther Brewing Company.
We've already made arrangements.
Well, see, y'all weren't here yesterday. I gave a talk here at the Collective yesterday, and I did it with a beer in my hand, but it was locally brewed, so I think it was okay. And again, we want to also thank John and Robin Cock for supporting MPB and taking us all out to dinner at a terrific place called Yazzie Pass last night. Appreciate that, but also the support for MPB. We really, really appreciate it. And I know, John, your wife, Robin, she's out delivering food today, so she's doing some civic stuff. So anyway, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. And by the way, I want to throw this out also, Java. Y'all were down in Cleveland last night, but you missed a rocking time at a place called the New Roxy.
The New Roxy?
Yeah, now this place, you cannot go half a block in Clarksdale without running into music or food or interesting things to see. The way they have decorated their walls with everything is painted. There are unbelievable murals everywhere. Matter of fact, I've seen pictures of murals from Clarksdale and blogs from all over the world. It's the kind of thing where people come here, and there may be music, but there's stuff people can take pictures of and take it home with them, too. So if you make it downtown Clarksdale anytime, be sure to go around. Even the back alleys have got cool stuff. And I want to throw this out also, the New Roxy. Now, this is it's a place where the ceiling has fallen in. So they put the supports across there, and they have music and stuff there. But they've got the coolest garden. It's got bottles and broken pottery for walkways. It's the only place on earth where I feel absolutely normal. And some of y'all seen my yard, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So have we got any callers yet?
Not yet. Abram is back in the studio, and he's going to let me know when we get some calls.
Okay, well, anybody here in the audience, you can step up and I guess grab my microphone. We'll share a microphone. But before we get into that, Lisa Lancaster from here in MPB. Oops. She painted a picture. She took a picture and framed it of my grandmother's concrete chicken on the back of my truck. And got a good frame to it. Lisa, appreciate that. I've got Granny's Chicken here with me. Granny's Chicken comes with me all over the place. A lot of people don't understand about Granny's Chicken, but she was from the Delta, and she grew zinnias and had a concrete chicken. Now, keep in mind, this is sociology and psychology, not just gardening, because horticulture doesn't recognize concrete chickens, okay? Horticulture is crop production. Is it too late to fertilize? Can I do that? When do I prune? Granny's Chicken stood out there day in and day out through all kinds of weather in the Delta. And, you know, we can have some pretty severe weather. I'm from the Delta. But Granny had this concrete chicken by her zinnias. And the zinnias looked great, but in the wintertime, they weren't there. So one time I caught Granny looking outside the window. I said, "What's up, Granny?" She said, "Well, I'm thinking about my zinnias." And I don't know if it was last year's zinnias or next year's zinnias, but she was looking out the window and looking at her chicken. In her heart and her mind, she saw zinnias. And when she passed away, everybody was dividing up all of her worldly possessions. Who's going to get that old car? Who wants a Schiffer robe? You know, dividing up all of her stuff. And I went out and I stole her chicken. And I put it in my yard, and Steve Bender, my friend from Southern Living Magazine, said, "Our Rushy's got a chicken in his yard." I'm thinking, you don't understand. When I look out at that chicken, in my mind, I see Versailles with 8-foot naked goddess statues. You know, I see unbelievable sculptures all over the world. But Granny's Chicken is a better style for my little garden. It's the right scale for my garden. And not only that, when I look out there, I don't see a concrete chicken. I see my grandmother and her zinnias. And so, anyway, I take her with her everywhere. Some people say he's got that old chicken with him again. I want to mention one other thing, though. What? Oh, I want to mention one other thing. There are other things you can use besides that. I've got a little gnome here, a little hand-painted concrete gnome. This came from England. In England, they don't pick stuff up on the curbside like we do. If you got trash and stuff, they'll pick a little stuff up. But if you got a lot of stuff, you got to haul it to what they call their tip. They're organized landfill, I guess. But they, you know, and the people at the little tip in the village where we stay, they pull the little chickens and the Snow Whites and the dwarves and the gnomes and all. They pull them out of the stream, and they got a little display garden of all the stuff that came out of people's yards. When they pass away, their kids take their stuff to the tip, and the tip guys, they just have a whole little village, and they let me bring some of these home to Mississippi. So this is an authentic, life-size, real English gnome. And I put it out there, and it's okay, you know. But get this, when you put it out there, it's the right size and scale for a little garden, too. And then while I'm on this, let me mention this. And by the way, this is a live program. If you want to, maybe I just need to stop talking so people won't keep listening and call instead.
No, we do have a caller lined up, but I want to. What do you have in your hand, man?
Okay, I'm not Catholic, but I've got a statue. I've got actually a larger one in my garden. Well, this is a saint statue. Anybody know the name of the garden saint?
Starts with an F.
That's right. That's right. No, not St. Francis. He's the bird guy. This is St. Fiacre, F-I-A-C-R-E, and he's got a shovel or spade and flowers. He is official patron saint of gardeners. And I put him in my garden not because I'm Catholic, because when I look at him, he reminds me of all the ways people have shared their flowers and their vegetables and herbs with each other, because that's what he stands for, sharing garden stuff. And so St. Fiacre, nice little statue there. So anyway, Job, you say a call came pouring in?
Yeah, we do. We're getting ready to take our first break for the hour, too, but we have David from Horn Lake on the phone.
David, what you in Horn Lake? You could come down here now. Hello.
I don't know about that now. Hey, look, heads up. DeSoto County Extension is going to have a plant sale tomorrow in Hernando, and I plan on going on it. My question to you is, I got a spot that I'm going to start from scratch. It has full shade. I put out leaf mulch in there, and I'm kind of like a kid in a candy shop. I'm going to put me some old-fashioned horse blinders on so I won't get distracted. I need some ideas on some flowers I can put in there that will tolerate full shade. And if you can give me some pointers, I'd appreciate it. And low maintenance, too, because I'm extremely lazy.
You know, and I appreciate you admitting that. I'm not just lazy. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm busy. I'm gone. When I bend over, I see sparkly things. And so I just try not to do any more gardening. But first and foremost, you got till tomorrow for the plant sale. And if they don't have what you're looking for, come on down to the collective here in Clarksdale because they got lots and lots of cool stuff. But anyway, before you plant anything, go around the yard, look behind the barn, do whatever you need, and find something big and chunky. It might be an old log. It might be an urn. It might be a bird bath. But put something out there that in the wintertime you can still see something. Put a little hard feature out there, a little art thing, something catch the eye. Maybe even an old branch with some green wine bottles on it, something to catch a little sight. Anyway, put something hard out there so your flowers, as they come and go, you still have something to look at. But you can start with hostas, H-O-S-T-A. You know, once you get them in the ground, they do great in the shade. You can get you a pot full of impatiens. You don't have to do much except water them every week or so. But hostas, impatiens, and I'm just drawing a total blank. There's a whole bunch of shade plant, ferns, anything like that. But do this. Get the master gardeners there to show you what they've got for the shade, because they not only know what they're doing, but they know what they got. Does that help?
Yes, it helps out a lot. Thanks a lot.
You need don't forget, you got to put your log or something out there to look at all the time. If you don't do that, it's going to, yeah, or plow, anything out there that you can see all year long, the flowers swirl in and around it. And tell them I said, hey.
All right, will do. Have a good one.
Now we have another call.
Another call came pouring in.
Let me check my phone real quick. This is a live program.
Yeah, so. It's live from Clarksdale downtown. And by the way, they've got all. It's called the Crossroads Festival, but it's just Clarksdale. You know, Clarksdale's always got music.
Juke
and
Joint
fun
Festival.
Stuff.
What's Crossroads?
Juke joint blue. You know, I'm blue juke joints at the Crossroads. Okay. Blue music, food, and it smells good here. It smells like barbecue everywhere you go.
All right, let's talk with Robert in New Albany.
Morning, Robert. What's up?
Hey, Felder. How are you?
So far, so good. Not so bad.
I just want to tell the folks that we've got a trailer load of fresh native plants heading down to the Museum of Natural Science tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And
they'll
be available for sale.
Yeah, I forgot. You know, they've got one of the best native plant landscapes in the South is at the Museum of Art downtown Jackson, done by Robert Poor and Ed Blake. It's terrific. And I forgot, the Holiday and all of them are having a wonderful plant sale down there with native plants. Appreciate that.
Well, this one is that Holiday's having hers, but they're also having a sale at the Natural Science Museum at the same time.
I did not know that. Okay, well, cool. Well, do both of them.
Yeah, we're going to the Museum of Natural Science.
All righty. Well, and that's a cool place, too. If you get a chance, I don't think you can walk along the river right now. The river is halfway up the hill. But they've got wonderful displays. They have a nice little display of native plants all around the Museum of Natural Science. Anyway, y'all have a good time.
All right. Well, thank you.
All righty. Java, what's up, man?
Abram, let's go to break.
Okay, he's going to do it. By the way, going to mention that this afternoon at 3 o'clock, as soon as we get done here and the next stop, Mississippi, is over, we're going to back my truck out, driving to Louisville to the library, doing a talk about growing anything in anything at 3 o'clock at the Louisville Library. And I'm going to drive something there to show you grow anything in anything because I got it all in the back of a pickup truck. Okie dokie, folks. Horticulturist Felder Rushing, me and Java Chapman, the folks at MPB, the MPB Foundation set up here. By the way, if you come up and just sign your name, give them the email, you can get a bandana that's got the Gestalt Gardener on it. I don't know where Angela came up with the idea of having a white bandana, but that ain't going to last long in a garden. You know? Anyway, it's a Let It Grow Gestalt Gardener. What's that? Our colors. Actually, that looks like Jackson State colors. It's blue and white.
And nothing's wrong with that.
I'm just saying, J State colors is all right. Anyway, before we take some more calls, we do have some lines open, toll-free 1-877-MPB ring. I have a lady. I'm going to put her on the spot. She asked me something in the break, and you're going to have to say it out loud now.
Why can't I grow lavender in Mississippi?
Why can't I grow lavender in Mississippi? Well, first of all, they've got some lavender plants right over there in the shade of the collective. So you've got some. Here's the deal with lavender. You know, I live in England part of the year, and in case y'all don't know why, there it is right there. Wave your hand, Susan. Lavender is a plant like foxgloves and so many other plants. They'll take 10 below zero, but they won't take 80 degrees at 3 in the morning in July. They need to cool down at night. It's a respiration thing. Don't want to get into plant physiology. But some plants have got to take a break at night so they can gather the energy and grow again. Here in Mississippi, it's warmer at night in the summertime than they need to grow during the daytime, and they wear themselves out. Plus, any kind of plant that's got kind of silvery or furry leaves, they don't like a lot of rainfall. These are Mediterranean plants that thrive on maybe 16 or 18 inches of rain a year. So if you want to try to grow lavender and foxgloves and stuff like that in Mississippi, you got to make them think it's not as hot and wet and humid as it is. And that means putting them where they get sunshine, which they need, but not hot afternoon sun, and not up against a radiated wall where it just radiates heat all night. So any way you can help them cool down at night. And also, if you water them a lot because of our heat and humidity, that rots their stems and their roots. See, so lavender needs to be just sort of in good drainage. You can put it in a pot, water it maybe every couple of weeks or so. They grow on cliffs and hillsides without a bunch of rain. So just trust them to be able to take it. If you water them too much, between that and the heat and the humidity, they just wear out. That's all it is to it. Beautiful lavender plants all over California, England, Seattle, all those places where it cools down at night. Here, treat it as an annual and brag about it. Take a picture of it because it ain't going to be there long. What do you think, Java?
I like that, but I do have to take this time right now, say thank you to one of our supporters, Varicosity Vein Center.
Yes.
The podcast of this very episode is going to be brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center. And for more information, visit varicosityveincenter.com.
And by the way, I don't know if any of y'all noticed, but I've got a dead plant here in the back of my truck. It's dead because I pulled it up. It's going to die. I'm killing this plant. I'm committing herbicide. Is what I'm doing, because this is a kale plant. It's a type of kale called Tuscan Blue, and it's starting to flower. When they start flower, they peter out and they die. This is a winter plant. In the back of my truck, I've got rosemary and oregano. My oregano needs thinning out. I've got thyme cascading. I've got parsley. See how the parsley's starting to flower? And when they start doing that, it's telling me it's time to pull them up and then stick something for the summer in that hole. So where I pull this Tuscan Blue kale plant up, I'm going to stick a basil plant in the hole. And it'll be there all summer and fall. And when it starts to peter out in the fall, I'll pull it up and stick a kale in its hole. That's called gardening. You know, you put some things out there that are all the time, like the rosemary, the oregano, my big dwarf agave, all these kind of plants out here all year, but the annuals come and go. And I choose to plant annuals, some flowers. I've got some violas there, and I'm going to replace those with a little compact zinnia. Matter of fact, I'm doing that before I leave the collective today. Just want to let you know, I'm going to get some plants put in my truck, and they're going to be to Louisville by this afternoon. And by the way, I grow stuff in the back of the truck to show that anybody can garden. All you have to do is have a pot. I've got over here, some of y'all see, I've got this old wash pot from my grandmother, Granny. I stole her chicken and I got her wash pot too, because she had a hole in it. She threw it up under the house. And so I pulled out and said, that hole is what we call drainage. And so I've got herbs in it. I've got flowers. I even accessorize it. It needs a little something extra. So I spray painted some crepe myrtle sticks, John Deere green, because it goes with my truck, and I put those in there as an accessory. No real need to do that, but if I can grow a complete herb garden in a wash pot and a little vegetable and herb garden in an old tire and all the stuff in the back of the truck, you got no reason to garden. I mean, to not garden. You got no reason. Take a kid to a garden center, get a big old pot that you can barely put your arms around, fill it with some potting soil, and stick all sorts of stuff. Let them pick stuff out based on how it smells. See if you can get them to find something that smells like pizza or spaghetti, it'll be oregano over time. Put it in a pot, stick a flower in there, and then accessorize it. You know, let them put their own little toy out there, a little dinosaur or whatever, and that will get them started on gardening. You don't have to plant stuff that will take a long time, you know, like tomatoes and peppers and sunflowers. Kids don't believe in time. They don't know what time is. They want instant gratification, and that's where culinary herbs come in. you can start using right off the bat. And every time they smell those herbs for the rest of their life, they will think of the person who helped them plant their first herb garden. So am I on a soapbox?
No, you're doing fine, Felder. Is Felder doing okay? Is he doing
Maybe some of y'all have got, oh, I know, Ann, come up here. You've had the collective for how long here, this collective seed?
We just celebrated our sixth birthday.
Woo!
And I noticed you're growing some plants that you normally don't see sold in Delta Gardens because nobody's sold them before.
We have a lot of the inventory we have here, we try to get the standards, the stuff that do well year after year, but it's always fun to mix it up and have things that people aren't used to seeing here, just like you said. So those do really well.
Yeah.
Well, people like weird stuff.
And containers, lots of good containers. You know, that's the neat part about independent, locally owned garden centers. As you choose, you have to look your customers in the eye and know that they'll come back at you.
That's right. That's right. There's nothing worse than somebody coming back and telling me that what they bought didn't work out. It really does hurt my feelings.
Well, it hurts your feelings, but you also learn for next year. And in over 6 years, you figure some stuff out.
I have. And we've never claimed to know everything and tell everyone that works here. I don't know is an acceptable answer as long as it's followed by, but I'll find out.
I'm at the age where I say, I don't know, and I don't care. Anyway, you got a lot of cool stuff here. And I noticed you have a plant called shrimp plant, which down on the coast is all year long. And this plant that a lot of people just don't think about because you don't see it. But it is a terrific, ever-blooming, nonstop. You got to cut it back and drag it in the wintertime, though. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah, those are really popular, the tropicals that, like you said, you don't see around here very much. The shrimp plants, the hibiscus, we saw a lot of hibiscus. I do have a question, a gardening question for you, if that's okay. I appreciate you giving Red Panther the plug earlier, but where we're standing right now will, in a few months, be the Red Panther Beer Garden. So we'll have outdoor seating and people can hang out and have their beers, but it's really hot here, right, with the radiant heat from the concrete. So we're going to bust it up a little bit and dig some big holes, and I want to plant some trees. What kind of trees should I plant?
Okay, I actually talked to the brewery folks yesterday about this. See, so I already knew what you were going to ask. You didn't know that. Here's my suggestion. You got a lot of concrete out here. I noticed up and down the streets in Clarksdale, everybody plants street trees. You have a plant here in Clarksdale. It's called Foster Holly. If y'all notice these trees up and down the street, they're growing in front of the collective even. They're growing in just little holes in the concrete. They're evergreen. They're upright. They're hollies. They got good winter berries, and they'll take not only the drought in the summer, the rains in the winter, but they'll take radiated heat. That's going to be your problem here. A lot of radiated heat out here. Let me suggest this, gently, if I may. Instead of planting trees, which are going to have leaf litter, and you know how they always drip in sap? That ain't sap. That's bug dew. You don't want bug dew in your maybe if they're using Delta water in their beer, maybe a little bug dew will sweeten it up. Oops. But no. Let me suggest instead a couple of streets over, there's where a building used to be. They've got big arbors with vines on it, and vines will take a lot of stuff. But I would consider putting some large posts out here and doing some kind of artificial-looking trees, maybe with some bottles on it, maybe big fake leaves made out of tin or something, and then put pots of stuff around it with vines that grew up on it. Because the trees are going to need, it's going to take them a while to get some size. They're going to have some problems. Just when one gets perfect, it's going to die because that's what happens. And instead of trees, which are a good idea, go with big, heavy arbors, sort of like you've got under your shade except taller, and create that kind of scene with different heights, almost like this is an art community. You know, have some artificial trees up here with vines growing on in big pots at the base. That's a lot more interesting, and it's instant gratification rather than waiting for a tree to get some size. And then nobody has to blow the leaves. Anyway, this is just an idea. Think vertical when you talk about gardening. Anything tall is going to help, but trees just take a while. And a vine on an arbor is instant. A tree is going to take 2 or 3 years. Now, that's just my opinion. You asked. And there it is. Now, don't make me come back on you.
So basically you say just get creative.
Just creative. That's right. I mean, can you see some arbors out, some posts out here, different heights with ATB made out of metal, and then make some big oversized leaves out of wood? Or, you know, we just see that in Clarksdale and throw a little bottles on there. Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rush, me and Java and the MPB Foundation, folks. Y'all settle down. This is a live radio program. Everybody's hugging and laughing and talking like it's a Saturday or something, you know? Anyway, we are at the Crossroads Festival downtown Clarksdale.
Juke joint
at the Crossroads.
I hear you. A juke joint at the Crossroads. Okay.
Juke joint at the Crossroads. That's
Shout out to Robert Johnson.
That's right. Anyway, we're talking about gardening live here at MPB. And if you want to give us a call, it's toll free, 1-877-MPB ring. And I think we have a question right over here, don't we? Okay. Keep it clean.
I'll try. My iris, when I first started, I had a group of blue iris, like a bunch.
And it turned yellow.
No. Then I planted three white iris on the other end of the bed. Now I have more white than blue. I would think that the blue would take over the white. No? Okay.
Okay. No. First of all, this is a question that horticulturists dread. Why did this happen and it didn't happen over there? And the truth is, I don't know, but irises will actually change color, and I cannot find anyone on earth. I'm talking about Iris Society experts who can say why that happens. But anyway, your white irises are probably more vigorous. A lot of irises spread, like some daffodils spread and others don't. So it sounds like your white iris, are they the old-fashioned ones that bloom real early? They call it cemetery whites, because you see them in cemeteries literally all over the world. It's a Mediterranean plant. And by the way, stupid little historic fact, those white irises, the little stubby ones that bloom real early, they were introduced not as flowers, and the fleur-de-lis on the French flag was patterned after that. They were introduced because the roots could be used as a herbal fixative. They call it orris root. Isn't that a stupid thing to know? I don't know what a herbal fixative is. But I think, you know what a herbal fixative is? Okay. Anyway, the white irises spread rapidly. Some of the ones with more finesse, bigger flowers, they don't spread as well. But you can divide them up and mix them together. It's okay to mix stuff up. Anyway, we got Susan, a birthday girl. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank y'all. I've got a question about my fig limbs. I got it from my mom's, our home place. It was destroyed by a tornado. And I kept it in a pot. I planted it last year. It grew about 5 feet. It had green on it, about six figs. And I was scared to prune it because it was only three limbs. I cut one off because you told me to do that. And now I've got two, and they're about 5 feet. And it's greening out. It looks beautiful. But I don't want it to die. Is it going to be okay?
Give me a hug.
She said,
I don't want it to die. Will it be okay?
Okay.
First of all, I am blushing. I blush really, really. You can't imagine how quick I blush. Anyway, here's the deal. Figs will make large shrubs. They're almost like small trees if you let them. But what most people who grow figs for a living, fig orchards, they cut them off to where you can walk out and reach the whole. You have to cut them back. You can cut a fig. Has anybody here ever cut a fig to the ground and it came back out? Anybody?
20 more.
20 more came up. Where the more you prune a fig, the more it branches out. Okay, so if you'll cut it back, and then when the new growth comes out, snip the tips off of it. It will branch out, and you'll have a fig bush that's more compact. It's prettier, and it'll have more figs, and you can pick them easier. And if you need to, you can throw a net over to keep the birds off of them. So anyway, it does not hurt a fig. Yeah, it does not hurt to prune. You can prune a fig with a drunk driver and a pickup truck, and it'll. I'm talking to you, Delta people. You prune it anytime you want to. Go ahead and prune it. It'll do fine. Figs have been pruned for a lot of people this past couple of winters have lost figs because it got too cold. It wasn't the cold. It was the sudden freeze. And then they get these borers in there. That happened to mine. I just cut it back, sprouted right back out. Not a big deal pruning figs at all. So don't worry about that. Anyway, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Who else had a question? Java? Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I can't stand too close. You got bees all over you.
Honey bees.
It's kind of like the iris question. I've got these orange mutt daylilies, and they ate up my species daylilies, the fancy ones, and I dig them up by the roots, but they come back. How do I get rid of them?
Okay, I've heard it called that old orange outhouse ditch bank lily. I've never heard it called a mutt lily. And a little background, because this is what I do. That old orange daylily, y'all know what we're talking about. They're single or they're double or triple. That's called Quanzo. It's the oldest cultivated daylily on Earth. It's been around for thousands of years. And I see it in the entrance to Royal Horticulture Society gardens. It's around the sign of the American Horticulture Society headquarters, around their sign. And they grow it because it's a mutt. And we want to let people know that you don't have to be fancy to be a horticulturist. It's sort of the BLT. No, it's a fried bologna of the garden world. Okay, you know, you may want to work your way up to spam, but fried bologna will work. Anyway, that old plant's grown. Whether I'm in Africa, South America, Japan, anywhere I go, all over the world, that is the single most commonly grown pass along plant on Earth. I wrote the book, you know. Anyway, and the reason it is because it can't grow from seed. It's a mule. It's a triploid. It can't reproduce by seed. Everywhere you see that old mutt lily, it came from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody. It's been grown all these years, not because it's pretty, but because it's edible. The buds of that old orange daylily, if you roll them in a little pepper and egg batter and lightly saute them, all the vitamins are broccoli. So people say, I'm so hungry. Well, you just need to grow some more orange daylilies. But to answer your question, it runs. It wants to run. And the only way you can keep it running is just keep pulling up till you wear it out. Daylily Society people keep it in a separate bed all the way across the yard from their fancy lilies. And by the way, I know you grow a lot of roses too, so don't put it near your roses. But anyway, that little orange daylily is a really, really cool, historic, great pass along plant that even the American Horticulture Society, we have it around our sign Alexandria, Virginia, for three reasons. First of all, it's a comfort food plant. It lets people know that gardening is a big tent. We don't want to put fancy stuff around our sign. We want to put stuff that makes people feel welcome. Second of all, it's a quarter mile from a hose in Java. None of us are going to waddle down there and water it.
No, sir.
No, and third of all, ain't nobody going to steal it. Because they either got it or they don't. Anyway, just keep pulling it up. And when nobody's looking, do a little guerrilla gardening. Come down here on Clarksdale. Put it around some of these planters down here. Let's infect Clarksdale with the most historic daylily on Earth, Quanzo. Am I wrong about it? Should I not be doing this?
I'm not going to tell you what to do or not to do. Except we need to do this
Holiday Robinson
in Jackson.
Holiday, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Felder. You know I have to give my plug for our plant sale down at the Mississippi Museum of Art this Saturday from 9 to 1. We've got some interesting plants going on, and some frostweed, some red buckeyes. Somebody was talking about planting in the shade. That red buckeye would be great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the best native plant gardens. Doesn't look like a native plant garden. It's an incredible landscape done by Robert Poor and Ed Blake, highly regarded landscape architects using almost all native plants. Terrific. Anyway, I hope you have a good turnout.
Well, thanks. And we have some Robert Poor phlox, speaking of which, and some bee balm and copper iris. You were talking about irises. We have a great selection of copper iris, which is native.
So, yeah. I was down in your garden last week taking pictures of copper iris down by the parking lot. Anyway, y'all have a good sale.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Felder. You take care. All right.
Okay. Clarksdale, are y'all ready for a weekend of people getting crazy over the blues and food? You don't sound very excited. Anyway, glad to be here at the Collective. Okie dokie, folks, welcome back. Horticulture Bill Rushing here at the Collective Seed downtown at the base of Delta Avenue, Clarksdale, Mississippi. Woo! Woo! And, yo, man, I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I said we shut down the new Roxy last night with blue bottle trees and all like that. Would like to mention before we take the phone calls that next week, next Saturday, I'm going to be at a place called Beaver Creek Distillery. There's a place in South Mississippi in Bassville, and they make they flavor their distillery stuff. They make it with all Mississippi products. I don't know if you knew about that. That's the kind of thing where next door Mississippi needs to visit sometime.
Next Stop Mississippi, which next is coming stop. Up next in about 15 minutes. But that's you didn't right. tell me about Beer Creek. What
Beaver Creek Distillery. Beaver is, Creek. It's on a farm that's been in the family 120 years down near Bassville, which is south of Jackson. Natural, nothing but nothing artificial. Fresh fruits, herbs, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to be in Natchez on April the 21st. On April 23rd, the DeSoto Civic Garden Club in Hernando is having a fundraiser dinner, and I'm going to be there. We're going to have a good time. We'll talk about all that next week. But meanwhile, back to talking about gardening here in Clarksdale, Mississippi, on Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Now, before we go to Sean on the road, who is our next caller, two hands on the wheel, Sean, I have to, again, say thank you to the Varicosity Vein Center, the sponsor of this episode's podcast. For more information about the Varicosity Vein Center, visit varicosityveincenter.com. All right. Now, Sean, I hope you're two hands on the wheel, Bluetooth. How you doing this morning?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. I had a quick question in regards to fertilization and using eggshells. I was told that if I take, used eggshells, put them in a jar of water overnight, and then kind of pour the water over potted plants, flowers, and, the shrubbery and stuff, and then take the eggshells and crush them around. And then also sometimes put banana peels straight on the pots around the yard. That kind of helps them. Is that so? And if so, how often can I do that, please?
Okay, first of all, Sean, just get some Miracle-Gro. Come on. Because Miracle-Gro, fertilizers are nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, and about 15 other things, including calcium and magnesium and iron and all that. What you're talking about is soaking a few of the things that have the minor elements. The eggshells have calcium in it. But get this, and you were correct. I don't know who told you this, but they were correct. A lot of people say put eggshells around their plants. Eggshells do not add calcium to soil. You Google it, and 99% of the websites say use calcium for eggshells for your, and it doesn't work. That's calcium carbonate, and you put an eggshell in your dirt and come back 20 years later, it's still there. But it has to be, but what happens is it gets broken. If your soil is acidic, the acids will convert the calcium carbonate to a usable calcium. But what you heard was you crush them up, you put a little vinegar in it, which is acetic acid, and it fizzes them up and it converts it to the right kind of calcium. If you're going to use eggshells, crush them up, add a little vinegar, fizz them up a little bit, and it's ready to go. As far as banana peels, you got to do something with them. But what leaches out of them is such a low minor thing. The only people who say that works are people who look at things through a microscope. So anyway, it's a good idea, but it's not good enough for your plants. They need a whole meal. It's like taking them to a buffet and letting them only have the beet juice in a buffet. So anyway, it's better. Yeah, go ahead and use that stuff. It's perfectly okay, but use it as a supplement to any kind of natural or synthetic real fertilizer. Really, serious. I'm standing up for your plants here. Use a whether it's natural or synthetic. Use a good fertilizer. Then do this other stuff just because it's fun. Does that help?
Yes, sir. It sure does. And I do use Miracle-Gro and all that other stuff. I was just trying to be a good human being to not create more garbage and try to do something with the leftover eggshells and banana peels. So I don't know. I appreciate your insight.
And by the way, I've got I don't have a compost. I've written about composting. I can make your eyes bleed with stupid detail about thermophilic bacteria and bioactivation and carbon nitrogen ratio. But I have a leaf pile outside my little cabin. And when I walk outside, I throw banana peels and eggshells right on top. Visitors who come to see me, they're going to walk past a pile of stuff because I'm doing the same thing. I let it turn into good fertilizer and nutrients for my garden. So anyway, you're doing a good thing, but just keep in mind your plants want to live on more than just beet juice. Banana juice.
Appreciate you,
yes,
Sean.
Sir,
thanks for calling
that.
In. Let's go to Mikey. Well, I think this is Mickey in Meridian.
Mickey, what's up?
Hi.
Hello.
I have a question. I enjoy your show. I have a question about water bedding plants. Is it too early? When is a good time to plant now? I have bad soil, so what do I need to add to my soil in order for my water plants to begin to grow?
Are you planting these in dirt or in pots or what?
I'm going to plant them in the dirt, but they have to spread. So I don't have a whole lot of space.
Okay.
So what do you...
Okay. We have a bad connection. If you'll hang up, I'll answer your question because it's a good one. I grow a lot of herbs myself. I grow some in dirt. And by the way, Master Gardeners, I said it, D-I-R-T, dirt, which is English for soil. Okay? Soil is French for dirt. Any questions? And dirt is a lot easier to say if you're from the South. Anyway, dirt is, soil is good, but by itself it's like too much of a good thing. Organic matter, like what most potting soil matter, is good, but it by itself, it has problems. One stays too wet, one stays too dry. The idea is to mix them together. And to me, it's just like adding crackers to a bowl of chili. You crumble up some crackers, you stir them into your chili. And you don't pour the chili out and fill the bowl up with crackers. So what you do is you take your dirt, you dig it a good solid shovel deep, if you can, turn it over, and then spread any kind of organic matter, bark or compost or potting soil or manure, any stuff, or even two or three different kinds, pile it on top, stir them together like crackers on chili, and you'll have a whole lot better garden. I just did that with my daughter last year, Zoe. In one day in November, we built some little raised beds, 6 feet by 3 feet. We turned dirt over, added some compost. Next day we planted. He had a beautiful garden that took less than 3 hours of work total, and it still looks good. But mostly we added stuff to the dirt and so to kind of fluff it up a little bit. Think crackers and chili, and you got the idea. Java?
We answered all the phone calls.
Really?
Yeah.
How much time we got left?
About 2.5 minutes.
Anybody got anything you want to add? Okay, birthday girl's got another question.
Well, my daughter lives across the street from me. She
We only got 2 minutes.
Okay. Bonsai trees. Do you know anything about, some?
Yeah, all a bonsai tree is a little plant. Keep cutting the branches off and keep it stunted looking. You could do that with a tree. You could do it with a shrub. But basically, it's just thinning out. It's like plucking eyebrows. Okay, any kind of fertilizer. Plants like a good all-purpose fertilizer. Bonsai to me is like plucking eyebrows, you know. Some people shave them off and paint them a different part of their face. Other people just pluck out the stuff they don't like and leave what they do like. And that's the concept of bonsai. Is this too much? Am I being too metaphorical here today, Java?
No, you hitting it. You good.
Okay. Have we got 60 seconds left?
Just about. Go ahead.
I want to share real quick a poem written in 1929 by a guy named Carl Capek. This is called The Gardener's Prayer. Oh, Lord, grant in some way it may rain every day, say from about midnight till 3 a.m. But you see, it must be gentle and warm so it can soak in. Granted, at the same time, it would not rain on alyssum, lavender, and others, which you and your infinite wisdom know are drought-loving plants. I will write their names down on a piece of paper if you like. And granted, the sun may shine the whole day long, but not everywhere. Not, for instance, on the fern and hostas, and not too much. That there may be plenty of dew and little wind, enough worms, no aphids and snails or mildew, and that once a week, thin liquid manure may fall from heaven. Amen. Thank y'all, Clark Stale, for having us down here. The folks and the folks here at Collective, John and Robin, supporters of MPB, and all the folks who came out on a beautiful day. Now, and the MPB Foundation with coffee and donuts and Gestalt Gardener and Java.
And coming up next stop Mississippi.
Oh Lord, strap on, because they're gonna be. It's going to be crazy the next hour or so. Anyway, thank y'all from Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Thank you, Clarksdale. Make some noise for yourself. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.